The simplicity of this intabulation reflects its model, which is even shorter than Eccolorota and lighter in style. Similar considerations apply to an anonymous setting of Liquidae Perle, the opening work in Morenzio's first book of five-part madrigals. It's famous for its obscene double entendres. Some of you may know the painting by De Witte here in Montreal that shows a young woman playing a virginal for an undressed cavalier who is in bed. I imagine that this is the sort of piece she is playing. Even if Phillips would have devoted attention to such a thing, he might have preferred to leave his intabulation of it unsigned. Or perhaps the plain passages that remain in these anonymous intabulations are indications that they are not entirely finished. Perhaps, too, unsigned works were more likely to be subsequently reworked by other musicians, a process that would have diluted any stylistic fingerprints of the original transcriber. Such might be the history of another intabulation from the same network of music and musicians. The Swedish manuscript known as the Dubin Tablature contains an arrangement of the five-part madrigal Il Cor Se Vera Sei by Felice Almerio. The composer was an almost exact contemporary of Phillips, who might have known him personally during his days in Rome. The madrigal was included in a publication, in a collection published at Antwerp in 1600, but the intabulation is dated 1643. The Dubin manuscript attributes the arrangement to Sweling's pupil Heinrich Scheidemann, and some things, especially the persistent dotted figures that decorate much of lines 5 and 6, certainly suggest a later composer than Phillips. This is clear from example 16. On the other hand, triplets turn up at almost precisely the same point as in Phillips's setting of his own madrigal Fece d'Avoi Partita, in other words, in the final statement of the final line of the poem. Here the opening two phrases shown in example 17 contain bursts of trills, or rather written out groppi, which are also reminiscent of Phillips. Yet the repetition of the final line does not receive the imagination found in Phillips's settings. As you can see from examples 18a and 18b, both statements receive the same zigzag figuration, which was a favorite of German Baroque organists. And I think it takes a player as gifted as Peter Derksen, who has recorded this, to make this a convincing and beautiful piece of music. Phillips has not previously come into consideration as composer of this setting, and I don't mean to suggest that it is his, but clearly all the madrigal intabulations that I've been discussing belong to a common tradition. Phillips might well have established this tradition, or at least helped to transmit it from Italy to the Netherlands, just as he might have been responsible for bringing Anerio's original madrigal from Rome to Antwerp. But even Phillips might have been reluctant to sign the more routine transcriptions that he produced, perhaps on a regular basis, in the course of his work as a professional keyboard player. These, like the anonymous settings that I've discussed, as well as Scheidemann's, would have fallen short of the standard set by Phillips's best intabulations. One purpose of a definite attribution is to point out features in a work that we might overlook if we understand it only as the collective product of a circle of musicians. But art historians are comfortable with attributions that take the form of circle of or school of a particular artist. The anonymous settings, like Scheidemann's, clearly are from the circle or school of Phillips and Sweling. But perhaps we should leave it at that. I'd like to close by playing Phillips's intabulation of Deggio Dunque Partire. In my view, this reveals a far higher degree of imagination and goes further in interpreting the original than the settings of Che Fa or even Ecco l'Aurora. Here, Phillips engages Morenzio on a more extended timescale, applying a greater variety of textures and figuration across the three sections or parts of the work. Unlike the better-known transcriptions in the Fitzwilliam Virginal book, this appears only in the somewhat later English manuscript known as O1, and we have David Smith to thank for giving us this piece in its first edition.